So basically, the mission of ISKCON, we deal with four things: recruit, train, retain, and sustain. So through our Harinam Sankirtan, through our outreach programs, prasadam distribution, people get connected, get attracted, they are recruited into the mission, they are part of our congregation. Then once they are in, then we try to train them up in the practice of sadhana bhakti, as Rupa Goswami has given in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then the more difficult things begin, which is we have to retain them. As Prabhupada said, to come to Krishna consciousness is easy. To stay in Krishna consciousness is difficult. No, Prabhupada said, to come to Krishna consciousness is difficult because most people won't come. Manushyanam sahasreshu. To stay in Krishna consciousness is more difficult. And to stay happy in Krishna consciousness is most difficult. Looks like there are many people who are agreeing to this. So therefore, retain. Retain means engaging the talent, engaging devotees appropriately as per their proclivities, as per their tendencies. And the fourth thing is sustain, which is to serve the talent, which is to make sure that they are nourished, their needs are taken care, there is support provided to them in times of difficulty. So once a person becomes part of the society, then it becomes the responsibility of the larger family to engage the devotees nicely and to support them properly. So both form elements of care. If one is not properly engaged, he will be distracted, and if one doesn't feel cared for also, he will be dissatisfied. So therefore we find that the most critical component of this is how we feel inspired in the association of devotees. And most of the time, devotees find difficulty in relationships with other devotees. And that is Kali's master stroke in dampening our enthusiasm in the process of Krishna consciousness. Because as long as we have faith in the process, then we will perform the process with enthusiasm. But as soon as our faith is struck, then our enthusiasm goes down. And the simplest way to attack the faith is to cut the umbilical cord, cut the channel where the faith and nourishment comes from. We came to Krishna consciousness attracted by devotees. It is the devotees' qualities and the devotees' compassion and the devotees' mood which made us do impossible things. Give up, you know, chai, coffee, television, cricket, so many other things. Right? In one sense, in modern times, it is kind of impossible. It's very, very difficult. But we kind of managed to do the impossible because we were attracted by devotees. So there is the power of the devotees, that they can manage to attract us like that. And therefore, the reverse also holds true, that what will actually make us dampen our practice of Krishna consciousness is also that loss of attractiveness towards the devotees, loss of faith in devotees. And many times in the course of our practice of Krishna consciousness, because of interacting with devotees so many times, then it so happens that we start really questioning whether my initial attraction was bona fide or not. So therefore, I'll just share a few things about how to maintain or sustain our relationships with devotees. The first thing is, we have to understand the individual. And as Govind Prabhu said many times, because the process is so much oriented towards perfection, you know, everything is absolute, Krishna is absolute. The process takes us back to Godhead. You know, we have to be pure, unalloyed devotees. Everything is in superlative. So many times when we are dealing with devotees also, on a regular basis, we forget that we are dealing with sadhakas who are also trying their best to practice Krishna consciousness. And sometimes we overlook that fact and we have too high expectations. So therefore each devotee is inspired in a certain way, and that inspiration and the calling of a devotee to do things in certain ways must be respected. Like for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami to actually, you know, take care of the family business and do things in a certain way. And Raghunath Das Goswami ran away and, you know, met Nityananda Prabhu. And he was asking him, tell me ways by which I can again go to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami said that Nirvighne Chaitanya Paya Kara Ashirvad, that give me Ashirvad so that I can attain Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without any vighna. So Nityananda Prabhu points to Raghunath Das Goswami and then tells all his associates that Krishna Pada Padma Ganda Yajana Pai Brahma Loka Adi Sukha Tarinai Bhai, that this person has opulence which is greater than that of Brahma Loka also. Krishna Pada Padma Ganda Yajana Pai, but what to do? He has attained the smell and the taste of Krishna's lotus feet. So although he's been given this responsibility of taking care of all the estates and all the business and this and that, but he's not attracted to it. He just wants to leave everything and go away. So therefore, I request all of you to give him Ashirvad, Nityananda Prabhu tells him. So that is the time when Nityananda Prabhu tells all the devotees to, and tells Raghunath Das Goswami to distribute Chiradayi and serve the Vaishnavas. So therefore, each devotee will have a certain kind of inclination, a certain kind of attraction, a certain desire to do things in certain ways. And over a period of their course in Krishna consciousness, those desires may change. So we have to be very flexible, understanding that every devotee has a certain level of inspiration. So that must be respected. Then the second element is, Prabhupada said, attention to detail is a symptom of love. So, you know, when we start chanting Hare Krishna and we have that famous photo on the cover of one of the Prabhupada's small books with the yogis, you know, and from here that soul is going back home, back to Godhead. So many times we are always thinking in terms of easy journey to other planets and we forget things on this planet. You know, so sometimes we fail to, you know, even respect certain human level interactions based out of respect and dignity for others. So if you see in 10th canto, when Sudama Brahman enters into Krishna's palace, all the palace residents, they are astonished to see such a person who's dressed so badly and looks so poor entering into such an opulent ambience. And what shocks them even more is Krishna jumps out of his simhasan and then offers his simhasan to Sudama. Kuchailam malinam kshamam dvijam dhamani santatam. So he's wearing very niggardly clothes, he's very dirty, and all of his veins can be seen because of his emaciated condition. Devi పరియచరత్ సాక్షాత్ చామర వ్యజనేన వై. And even more shocking is Rukmini is standing with Chamar and she is offering Chamar to this person, right? So then all the palace residents are discussing with each other, kim anena kritam punyam avadhutena bhikshuna, what kind of punya this avadhut brahman must have performed. He looks so poverty stricken but he is receiving royal treatment, and not only royal treatment, like personal service from Krishna and Rukmini. Shriya hinena lokesmin, looks like he doesn't have any wealth. Garhitena adhamena cha, and he seems to be coming from a very wretched background. But we cannot understand this. So it's very interesting to see that Krishna deals with Sudama with so much of love and affection. And you see on that cover of the 10th canto, 4th part, Krishna has Sudama's feet in his hand and is washing his feet. Yosau Triloka Guruna Srinivasena Samvrta Paryankastav Shriyam Hitva Parishvakto Agrajo Yatha. So Shukadeva Goswami is capturing that scene, that Yosau Triloka Guruna, here is the personality who is the spiritual master of all the three worlds. And Srinivasena Samvartam, on his chest, Shri or Lakshmi Devi, goddess of fortune, is forever residing. And such a great personality, such an elevated person, Paryankastham, from his royal opulent throne, Shriyam Hitva, he also told Rukmini Devi to get down. And he left Rukmini Devi, he left the goddess of fortune, and then he came and embraced Sudama Parishvakto as if Agrajo Yatha, his elder brother, has come. So he demonstrated so much of love and affection and so much of service attitude and hospitality to Sudama, who was his very old friend. And Sudama himself never expected this kind of a welcome, because he thought that Krishna is Dwarkadhish and I am nothing. So will Krishna even recognize me? And when Krishna behaved like this, Sudama was so bewildered that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that Sudama started thinking that, is this a case of mistaken identity? That were they expecting some other great sage or something, and at that time I entered and a reception meant for someone else came to me. So then Krishna, being Paramatma, could understand that Sudama is thinking like that. So Krishna started speaking about their time spent in the Gurukul to bring to the context that, no, I know who you are. This is genuine. Don't think that this was reserved for some Dhaumya Rishi or this Rishi or that Rishi, and you know, we just offered. You know? So because of this affection which was shown by Krishna, so Chakravarti Pathakur writes in the purport that towards the last part of the pastime, that Sudama was given a lot of opulence by Krishna. But that opulence was given by Krishna to humble him, because Sudama just felt, I am so poverty stricken, I am so detached, I don't need anyone, I don't need anything. So Krishna wanted to change that. So Krishna, first of all, by serving him, by holding that his feet in his hand and by serving him like that, Krishna broke through his defense mechanism. And Krishna made his way into Sudama's heart, and Sudama opened up. And then Krishna gave him all this opulence, and Sudama really felt humbled that I received so much affection from Krishna, and then I received so much of opulence from Krishna. So his feeling of detached independence was kind of a hindrance in his pure devotional service, that was crushed through. And in that way Krishna humbled him by giving him wealth. Now many of us may start praying that, please humble me like that. But that may not work. but it was a specific situation of Sudama. So it's a very interesting purport. In the end of the Sudama pastime it comes. So the way Krishna actually connected with Sudama was through that very attentive service which he did. So attention to detail in our relationships is very important. The third element is that we may, you know, make various commitments and we may not keep those commitments. And one of the biggest problems in relationships, especially when you start serving, is you tell someone to do something and, you know, they don't show up. It begins from a whole range. From not showing up to not delivering on time. The whole range of things are there. So people try their best to keep their commitments, but when there is difficulty in keeping commitment, then gradually in the heart we start kind of thinking negatively about people. Right? So it's very important to know that we are all in Kali Yuga. It's a slow yuga compared to, we think it's a fast yuga, but compared to the previous yugas, it's a slow yuga. And prayana alpayusha sadhya kalavasmin yugejana manda sumanda matayogo manda bhagya. So overall we are dealing with, you know, virus infected systems. So overall there is a lot of imperfections. So we should not start off with too high expectations about how different people will respond and how the teams will work and things like that. So if you kind of have that understanding, then it works better. So at all levels, it's important to know that it always helps that if, even if you make a small commitment, keeping that helps to maintain that relationship. And if you're not able to keep up that commitment, it always affects the relationship. Like Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev Ji, if you see their relationship, it's so amazing. That Vasudev left Krishna with Nanda Maharaj. You know, Vasudev is the one who did all the austerities from so many lifetimes to get Krishna. And then as soon as Krishna is born, Krishna tells Vasudev, take me and leave me with Nanda Maharaj. So that is Krishna. Someone does austerity, someone else gets to have Bal Leela. You know? So Krishna was taken to Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj, after Nandotsav, comes and meets Vasudev. And Vasudev Ji is very conscious that, you know, Krishna was born to me and a daughter was born to Nanda Maharaj. So he says, Dishtya Bhrata Pravayasa Idanim Aprajasyate. So he doesn't say, how's your daughter? How's your son? Because that would have been a lie. Because he knows that a daughter was born and he exchanged the daughter. So he says, Dishtya Bhrata Pravayasa Idanim Aprajasyate. So how's your praja? Praja means progeny. It's neither masculine nor feminine. So he kind of speaks like that. Pradashaya Nivrtasya Praja Tat Samapadyata. So three times in this shloka he uses the word praja, because he's speaking to a Vaishnava. I mean, Vasudeva has spoken previously to Kamsa, and while speaking to Kamsa he has kind of, you know, spoken so many different things, which is kind of diplomatic, not on the mark. But when he's speaking with Vasudev, with Nanda Maharaj, he's very careful how he is choosing every word. So prajashaya nivrtasya prajayat samapadyata, he wants to make sure that when he's speaking to him, everything is going to be absolutely clear and transparent. Like that. And then immediately he says, naikatra priya sammasa suhrudam chitra karmanam. When different sticks flow in a river, sometimes they come together, sometimes they are set apart. Right? Ohena vyuhamananam plavanam srota suyatha. So many souls, as Govindprabhu mentioned, five types of people are there. Someone loves you, someone hates you, someone is indifferent to you, someone wants to serve you, someone you want to serve. So overall our, you know, you can see it's so difficult to develop a service attitude naturally. So, you know, here he's saying that people come together like sticks in a river and then they are set apart by the time factor. And we have no control over it. But I am very happy that Krishna, that the Supreme Lord has blessed you like this by giving you this child even at a very advanced age. Okay. And then Vasudeva, although Krishna is with Nanda Maharaj, Vasudeva is constantly meditating on Krishna's protection. So he is the one who tells Nanda Maharaj to go back because demons make up an attack. And he is the one who sends Gargacharya because he is keeping account. Because amongst Kshatriyas, before the 100th day is over, the name giving ceremony must be done. So Vasudeva is the one who is keeping the count. And then he is sending Gargacharya there. Right? So therefore, in this relationship we can see that Vasudeva is very conscious of his relationship with Nanda Maharaj. And it's a very sensitive relationship, but they maintain it because they keep their commitments very nicely. Then the fourth element in a relationship is integrity, which is aligning our values to our actions. And if you see in the 8th canto, the Bali Maharaj's pastime demonstrates this very beautifully. You know, in Bali Maharaj's pastime, we find that he has given a promise which is very difficult to keep. But then Lord Vamandev finally makes sure that Bali Maharaj is punished. And as he is being punished, he is still not breaking his promise. He is warned by Shukracharya, don't do this. This is Vishnu. He will take everything. But the whole pastime demonstrates how once he has given a word, he is keeping it. And he's showing his integrity. So he says, Pumsam shlaghyatamam manye dandam arhattam arpitam yamna mata pita bharata suhudas chadishanti. That many people in the past have been punished by their dependents, by their parents, by others, but no one has been punished the way I have been punished. So my dear Lord, you are the supreme personality of punishment also. But he sticks to his word and therefore he becomes one of the Mahajans also. You can't just become a Mahajan just like that. So therefore it's very important to appreciate this principle of integrity. And Srila Prabhupada, he was followed by so many people all over the world because he had that, you know, principle. He just followed the words of Srila Saraswati Thakur to the core, and he was really successful because he just maintained his balance in all situations. When Srila Prabhupada went to Shantipur to take blessings of some of his godbrothers, so one of his godbrothers told him that, oh, so I heard you are going to America. And Prabhupada said, no, I am not going to America. The Srimad Bhagavatam is going to America. I am going with Bhagavatam as their servant. So Srila Prabhupada was very clear what he was doing, and he was just following the instructions of Srila Saraswati Thakur. And then the another very important principle is in relationship is to apologize when we make mistakes. So in a devotee community, when we are dealing with each other, we always make mistakes. There will always be certain discrepancies which will happen. But sincere apology is important. And Ajamil is a good example. He made some serious mistakes. And the kind of punishment he was given, I don't think many of us will have that privilege. Yamadutas personally came and gave darshan. And just by seeing the Yamadutas, he got so scared. But then the Vishnudutas came and saved him. Right? One college student was telling me that, you know, my Mahajan is Ajamil.
he is my hero.
And I said, why? Bola, maja bhi kiya, bhakti bhi kiya. So that is a, he knew how to balance his life. I said, he didn't balance his life out of plan. It just happened that the second part came as a mercy of Krishna so that the glories of the holy name can be revealed. It would be too risky to follow Ajamil. So Ajamil says, Kocham kitava papa brahmakna nirapatrapa kocha narayanatyeti bhagavan nama mangalam. That I am so fallen, I am so wretched, I am the destroyer of the Brahminical principles. But Lord Narayan's holy name is so merciful. Bhagavan Nama Mangalam, it appears on my tongue. Even though I am so fallen, I am impure, but all pure and merciful holy name has appeared on my tongue to purify me. I am so grateful to the Lord for this. Bhagavan Nama Mangalam, that holy name creates all auspiciousness. So he apologizes sincerely in a series of prayers after he is given a reprieve by the Vishnudutas, and therefore he is given another opportunity at Haridwar. And then the last is that we should be very clear about expectations, clarify expectations about our roles and about the goal also, both. What's expected from me and what's the final goal which is expected. Because sometimes when the goals are not clear, the roles are not clear, because of a 60-70% of energy goes just because different people engaged in a certain activity are not clear what they are supposed to do and what the whole society is supposed to do. So because of that, a lot of energy goes. So that's a very important point. When our Hanumanji goes to Lanka, he meets Sita, and he just tells Sita Devi that, you know, you don't have to wait for Ram or anything, and we don't care for this Ravana and other things. Just sit on my back. Jump on my back, we'll go back. That's the end of our mind. Finished. Simple, right? You just jump on my back, I'll jump back. Let Ravana continue in Lanka, you're back with Ram. So most people in Kali Yuga would say, yes, do it. That's a practical thing to do. So Sita Devi said, no. I cannot do it. Why? Because, you know, number one, I am afraid of these Rakshasas, because when you start flying from here, they'll attack you. Number two, I am afraid of the ocean, because when I am flying, you know, sitting on you on your shoulder or something, and I look down into the ocean, I may get scared, I may fall off. And thirdly is that you are a Parapurusha. So therefore I cannot touch you. So Hanumanji immediately increased his size into such a gigantic size, he touched the skies. He reached up to the sky and then came down and said, which Rakshasa will bother me now? Live demonstration he gave. And then he said, as far as ocean is concerned, I can't believe that you are afraid of the ocean, because he's your father. Lakshmi came out of the ocean, right? Therefore in Jagannath Puri, when the ocean starts making sound, Subhadra and Baldeva are disturbed and they tell Jagannath, and tell your father-in-law to shut up. So Jagannath tells Lakshmi, hey, there is trouble here. So then, you know, what can they do? So then Lord Jagannath says, okay, I have to sort it out. So he tells Hanumanji to come. So Hanumanji is there at the west gate, and he is there with his ear. So that's called Kanpata Hanuman. So all the sound vibration of the ocean he just absorbs in his ears. So inside Jagannath temple, you will not hear the ocean sound at all. That's one of the seven miracles in the Jagannath temple. You will not hear any sound of the ocean at all. So Hanuman, he says, he is your father, so what is the problem? And then as far as, you know, Parapurush is concerned, I am like your son, I am Putra. So therefore, you are in a disabled state, so son is carrying a disabled mother, so what is the problem? So then Sita Devi understands that she cannot just speak external reasons. She has to come out with the internal reasons. So it is said, Sundari Raghunathasya Surastri Dukkha Shantaye Dashananasya Bhone Dashamasam Nivasyam. Sita Devi says that if I escape all alone, then what will happen to all of these other ladies who have been brought from different parts of the whole universe? So I am not the only one captive here. There are so many others who are distressed. So therefore, as an act of compassion towards them, it would be too selfish for me to escape alone. I am concerned about them. So therefore, Valmiki says, Sundari Raghunathasya Surastri Dukkha Shantaye. She actually got herself kidnapped so that she could also help all the other ladies who had been trapped there. And therefore, Dashananasya Bhavane, in Dashanan's palace, in that Ashoka Vatika, she was there for Dashamasam, for 10 months. So then, she says, the second reason is that my Lord has appeared for a specific purpose. Then, of course, she says that as a husband, it is his duty to protect his wife. So therefore, in future, people may taunt him that, hey, your wife got kidnapped and monkey saved her. Huh? What did you do? What was your contribution? So I don't want him to, you know, hear such taunts. Let him come and take the honor of saving me. And third, very important, is that he has appeared for the purpose of establishing bhakti, establishing the power of dependence upon him. So therefore, if I use a trick in this calamity and escape using my intelligence, using some intelligent trick, intelligent solution, using my brain, then all future generations of people, when they are in distress, they will be tempted to use their brain more, to think of something very intelligent plan, and they may feel that the better our plan making, easier it is to escape this calamity. But my Lord has appeared to display dependence upon him. So therefore, in this state, I should simply sit here and chant his holy names and display my dependence, so that in future generations, when they are in distress, they are in difficulty, then they will really take to the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So therefore, Sita Devi refuses. And she says that, you know, when people are in difficulty, their first default option would be, let us figure out how to get out. But then, let them get inspired by this, that there are situations which are beyond the use of intellect, which are beyond any kind of plan making, where we simply have to depend helplessly on the Lord. So therefore, she was very clear about what she wanted, and she was very clear in what she wanted Hanumanji to do also. So that way Hanumanji's mission was, you know, well set. Because the person whom he was following also knew what she wanted and what she wanted him to do also. So, clarifying expectations is important. So these are like some of the few things that we can try to follow in our own lives. Understanding the individuals, clarifying expectations, actually, you know, showing and displaying some integrity in our lives. In every possible way, making sure that our expectations are very clear, and also keeping commitments. And sometimes if you are not able to keep commitments, then apologizing sincerely. So these are some of the ways in which in our relationships, if we try to follow as sincerely as possible, and as Govind Prabhu mentioned, that when you feel inspired by someone's perfection, then be grateful, and when you feel frustrated with someone's imperfection, then be sympathetic. I think that's the only way things will move ahead in Kali Yuga.